Hey, welcome back to another exciting episode of Extra Features. I have a fabulous guest whose last name I'm going to really screw it up, so we're not going to try and pronounce it. The creator, writer, director, we'll call him Steven because we can't say his last name, of the Director's Cut is here. Welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me, man. Appreciate it.
So I got to start at the very beginning of this thing. You have something I miss so much is your location. Absolutely made me fall in love with anything you did.
Nice.
So where did you find this lovely video store? Don't tell me you created it yourself.
I wish I could claim that. I found it. We ended up shooting in Menifee, California, and it's a running active contemporary video store that's also a Water Plus store. That's kind of like it's where it makes most of its money through the water, selling alkaline water and all that stuff. But it has a video, that whole video store collection, you know. I did help the guy. He was in another location that was pure video store. But when I went in there to ask him to film there, he said, totally down, but he's going to be moving to another location. So I helped him move all that stuff and helped him, you know, put all the build like a, you know, basically the wall so you could put the movies in there and stuff like that, the shelves. I mean, so yeah, it worked out. He kind of gave me carte blanche to just kind of decorate it the way I wanted it to, but he was, you know, he was originally in Lake Elsinore, which is a full video store, which would have been awesome to shoot there. But, you know, business is hard for video stores nowadays. So video rental stores specifically, too.
Let's stay on this topic for one more second. I miss video stores more than probably anything else has disappeared. For a guy like me who's such a cinephile.
Yeah, I feel you.
I would love to have a video store. So you made my day. Let's start there. The video store idea is awesome. Was that your whole idea for this thing? I mean, the story doesn't work without the video store, I don't think.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, the video store was kind of like the genesis, in a way, of kind of making this movie. Really, it's just desperate to make a feature-length movie. You know, I've tried in the past with other stuff. I made some short films. But really, just getting a feature made, because I have all these other scripts, but I feel like, you know, no one's going to give you an opportunity unless they... Even if you make short films, you know, they're like, they have a hard time. Even if you make a bunch of short films, they're like, they want to see if you can make a feature film. And it's hard when you haven't made a feature film to someone give you like really decent amount of money. So basically I kind of, you know, funded it myself and wrote something that was contained, but can show that I can at least tell a story in the feature length format. And that was a genesis, you know, and I found the video store and then I was like, oh, okay. This is a cool setting for a movie. I love video stores. I miss them so much. I wish we were still in that time, you know, of renting video stores. As much as streaming is convenient, I mean, I would give it up in a second so I can go back to every Friday going to the video store and just looking at all the movies. Sometimes I won't even rent stuff. I always usually would, but just the idea of just having a physical place that you can touch and feel and look at the covers and all that stuff. And yeah, I missed that. So that was kind of, yeah, the video store played a big part in the story in general.
So you have smoking in your film, which kind of took me back for a bit. I'm like, wow, you don't see that anymore. Like, I mean, you're obviously, I'm going to tell people I'm an older man than this gentleman I'm interviewing. Does your generation embrace smoking again, or have you embraced smoking, or is that why it's in here? Because you just don't see it.
Well, look, I mean, for me, yes, I guess where I'm from, yeah, it's something that's part of me. You know, a lot of my friends do it and stuff like that. So, it felt kind of natural. It felt like, you know, it felt like if I owned a video store, I'd definitely be doing that, but especially if it was slow and not like corporate, you know, very mom and pop. Like, yeah, I definitely would be, you know, toking.
Awesome. I love it. I do also want to bring up, you bring up Wet Hot American Summer.
Yes.
So
yes,
this really felt like a personal antidote from you throughout the film.
Yeah, I know. I love that movie. I'm a big fan of that movie. I love David Wayne, and that movie is just one of my favorite comedies ever. It's so hilarious. I love even the Netflix series, both of them. I thought they were funny. The movie is still, you know, holds the number one spot. But yeah, that movie, I can watch it any day. It cracks me up. And I feel like it didn't get, you know, They're working at a video store. I wanted to bring up some movies, and I feel like that's a movie that could always use more attention, or could always just get more of a shout out because it's such a great film.
So, as you were writing this, did you, would a lot of this dialogue that you might have had years ago at a video store or maybe with friends discussing the movies, I mean?
No, I mean, I didn't. I had a girlfriend that worked at a video store, and I was always in video stores, until the last video store that was around here, like. But I used to work at a movie theater as a projectionist, so I've just always and I had friends that worked with me. My buddy was the manager, and my other buddy was concession, so we worked a lot of shifts together in the mornings, and during the weekdays it'd be very dead at that theater that we worked at. So there was a lot of just talking about movies, hanging out. Some of the stuff that you see in the movie definitely happened when I worked at the movie theater in some form, so definitely kind of took that little piece of what I experienced and kind of implemented it into a video store. Even though I didn't actually work in a video store, I knew video stores very well because I knew friends. I had friends that worked in it, and like I said, my ex-girlfriend used to work in it, so I was in there a lot.
Did being a projectionist help you at all shoot your film?
Oh, excuse me, say that again.
Being a projectionist, did it help you at all shoot your film?
Did that help at all? I mean, I wouldn't say it helped at all, honestly. I mean, I think just, being a projectionist just it, just puts you in that milieu of movies, constantly seeing movies every, I was in there all the time, throughout the week, working 5 days a week, so I'd just be watching movies, building trailers and stuff like that. So I wouldn't, maybe subconsciously, but not consciously.
So when you were going into your first project, this being it, I presume your first feature,
My first
were you
feature, yes, sir.
nervous? Were you, what happened that you couldn't expect it?
I mean, it's just you never have enough time. You never have enough setups. It's just that's just the way, the sun, you're, most of the movie shot at night, so we're and it was one of those, I think the time was when the sun was coming up like around five in the morning or something like that. So, there was a few days where we were like, oh, snap, we got to get this done before the sun comes up, or now we're not going to be able to get. It's just we couldn't afford to lose a day. We were, it was definitely a low budget film that we didn't have the luxury to like, hey, we'll just shoot it tomorrow, Like we had to stick on schedule, which we did, which was great, So I'm glad we were able to stick to schedule and not feel like I compromised too much. But yeah, compromising is always the biggest struggle, I feel like, with any even short films, but definitely in the feature film, you're like, okay, well, I gotta adapt to what's reality in the moment. So yeah, there was a lot of stuff, but it was a lot of fun, but it was stressful, everything, But I overall had a very good experience because I had a great cast and crew.
I will say I did notice you shot only at night. It's kind of evident, but I was thinking maybe you're doing an homage to Clerks because
For
that's where I
sure,
felt because I was laughing at my because Kevin
Clerks is
Smith can only shoot
definitely.
at night too, so.
Yeah, no, definitely. Clerks was definitely a big influence. I think we only have one scene that's the opening credit scene is the only thing that's kind of like shot like in the evening where there's daylight. Pretty much the rest is all pretty much night. Maybe like a few of the flashbacks have daytime, but overall, it's a night shoot. Clerks is a very obvious influence in the movie. I kind of just wanted to do Clerks kind of as a murder mystery, give it a little bit more of a plot in a sense instead of just a day in the life, but still try to keep that slice of life hangout feeling. I definitely want it to feel like a hangout movie as well, but like with the plot of the murder mystery going on in the background, and then eventually, taking over in the third act.
The movie that the lady brings in to show the guy that he hasn't seen, was there, is that going to be an actual movie you're going to film later on, or that's just a plot point?
You know what? In early iterations of the conception of this film, I was thinking about potentially like shooting something or writing like some of it. But then I kind of was like, no, I kind of didn't want to. I wanted to kind of not do that. But yeah, I've thought about it, but I don't know. Maybe in the future, I don't know. The Midnight Mangler, I don't know. Maybe one day. But
I
it
just
definitely
like it's
crossed
the
my
sound
mind.
of like I wasn't sure if at one point you were deciding just to pull us into that world for a bit and then come back out.
I thought about it. I definitely thought about it, but I think I was just kind of like, you know what? I think it doesn't need it. But yeah, I definitely flirted with that idea for sure.
Okay. Why is the video the DVD player on the floor?
That's just kind of something that that's a funny question. That's just I experienced that. I used to have a DVD player on my floor. I had friends that had DVD players on my floor. Not all the time, but it ha I have seen it. So it was something that, you know, it was I was kind of like, oh, you know, let's just do that. It was just something, especially like being like in my early 20s, like that was just something that I saw commonly, like in other people's places where it's just on the floor, you know?
Oh, that would just upset me. And what's your love of Hot Tub Time Machine 2?
That was just an improv for on the
Okay.
day of the spot. I have no issues with that movie. I prefer the first one, but that was just something that we felt was kind of like the guy, what's his name? The guy who plays it, Cool Duder, Sean C. Phillips. He kind of picked it up, and we're kind of like, my producer Jeremy was like, hey, we should have him say this line. It just kind of. Okay, he kind of threw it at him, and he said it, and we liked it.
Okay, how did you decide the characters for the video? I mean, obviously you've written a script, I understand.
Yeah.
Did you at one point gonna have more characters come into the store, or just because of time constraints you had to tone it down a bit? Because I find the store is not very busy.
Yeah, we. The truth is the real life store wasn't very busy either. So
Oh, okay.
I felt kind of like I didn't need to like. It was the reality of the situation, you know. Even when he had the full video store, when I would go in there, it'd be maybe one customer or nothing. Nobody would show up when I was talking about, you know, when I was getting
Wow.
to know him, and before I pitched him the idea of filming in his store, you know, it was very dead, especially at nighttime. It was just very, very dead. And then even now, you know, he makes most of it. He still gets money, you know. The movies get rented and all that stuff, but you know, his cash, the stuff that really brings the store to survive is the water stuff, the water plus element of it, you know, because, you know, it's just hard, you know, it's hard for video stores.
It shouldn't be. People
It
should really
shouldn't
got to
be.
get
I
out there
agree,
and
man.
see
It's a
more
bummer.
films. So the video store, just to back this up, is still going. It's waiting for your
Still
entertainment
working
because of
as far as I know. Last I checked, I still stay in touch with the owner. His name's Marcelino. Great guy, really chill. But yeah, it's still working. I texted him not that long ago, like, how's the video story? Like, oh, people are still buying and renting. It's still,
perfect.
you know, but the, you know, it's doing good because of the water as well, you know? So I think it's like a good little double whammy for him.
You have a little bit of music here, not a lot in your film. So, where'd your music come from?
A buddy of mine named Dylan Baumgartner, he did the music. He's a musician. He has a band called Slingshot. Yeah, he did it all. He's a cool dude. Also a filmmaker, but he's really focused into music and stuff like that. So he's the one that I hit up, and he was gonna be cheap, but I also like his band's music, so I knew he would commit to the music and give me something that was that I would like for the film.
So basically that you don't leave the store except for a couple shots. You have a
Yeah.
dinner scene and a frisbee golf scene.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, that's true. Yeah, like a disc golf scene. That's right. I just wanted to, like, I mean, and then at the end, there's a little bit of a scene in the park and stuff like
I
that. But
wasn't going to discuss it yet. I'm kind of
yeah.
just leaving that alone.
Okay, cool. Okay. But yeah, there's like, what, like three or four scenes that you kind of like see outside of the video store. They're essentially like flashbacks, or little character moments with the two characters like on their phones or something like that, like when they're talking. But yeah, I just wanted to give it a little bit of a, I guess, the video store a break as much as I can without like leaving it, you know? So kind of that little Family Guy technique where, you know, they're talking and boom, they flash back to whatever they're kind of referring to in the present time of the film.
Now, did you feel that very constrained because of the video story? Because I mean, you don't have a big budget. You can't really go out anywhere. So your story pretty much has to stay in the one place the whole time.
Yeah, very true. Yes and no. I think yes, because I think the video store has a pretty good space. Like it was bigger than what it originally would have been. The original store before he moved to the location where we ended up filming was very tight. But very cool because everything was filled up with video. It was just like, but it was very compact, very kind of, it would have been a very like crowded set, you know, and I had a small crew, but even then it would have been crowded in that original location. But yeah, and I think constraints other than that, no, I feel like I was able to, I feel like I was able to do like interesting enough shots, but also I also felt like I didn't, in hindsight, I'm like, I would have done it differently. You're always looking 2020 all the time, you know, hindsight's 2020. I look back, I'm like, oh, I wish should have used it this way, you know, but when you're under the gun, you kind of have to make the decisions at the moment that makes sense, I guess. But yeah, definitely would have been, there's certain things that I definitely would have, captured differently, you know, if I would have, if I would do it again, you know, in that same location. But overall, I am pleased with overall how the way I captured or photographed the film.
I was worried about your lighting a lot. I found that it was a little bright for me, but I mean, I know it's a video, so it's bright. I was wondering, did you run any lights or just use the
No,
lights?
so what we did have lights. We did have lights. I did want it to have kind of a little bit of a like I didn't want it to be too grim, but I did want it to have a little bit of a, not a blown out look, but a little bit of like a kind of a hazy, but like blown out look a little bit in the background without looking bad in a blown out way. But basically we used the lights in there and we put like some muzzle over the lights so to give it a little bit of a haze. And then we did have a light mat that we would like to add a little extra light if we needed it. So yeah, some natural, but we modify it with the muzzle material to put over all the lights to so it diffused it. And then we had also the light mat, which was very, very useful, especially for, I think, low budget films. The light mat's one of the best lights to use.
I just want to go back to the water in the video store. It does claim it's the best purified water in town. Did you
It's pretty
try
good.
it?
I have tried it. It's pretty good water. Yeah. Is it the
Okay.
best in town? I don't know, but it's pretty damn good. That was cool. We definitely had free access to water, so
Well, there you
that
go. So you
was
could
nice.
cheap out on the catering then. How did your cast work? Did you let them? Obviously, you have to find them first. So let's start the easy part. How'd you find them?
How did I find them? Some of them I knew, I kind of known over the years that I knew were actors, and I kind of wrote the lead role for the main guy, LaBelle. And then some of them I did casting through like LA casting or backstage casting. Probably like I would say four of the actors are from LA and the rest are local.
Okay. So when you're bringing people in, do you send them the script ahead of time? Do you let them speak to each other? You just sort of go on set and go start. We gotta go. We don't have time to rehearse.
Yeah, we did. I definitely sent him the script. We did some Zoom rehearsals. Here's the thing, the script was always evolving, even till the last, before the first day, I was like adding stuff, changing things. And then I also kind of allowed a little bit of improv with the actors and stuff like that. But I mean, I say it's about like what, 80% the dialogue that I wrote and the rest 20% improvised.
So how's it as a director? I mean, you have a script, you have a vision, and somebody improvises.
Yeah,
Does that
I'm
throw
pretty.
you off?
It depends. I usually try to be like, let's get what's on the page, and then we can kind of play and kind of improvise. Because I like improvisation. I think it works for the most part. It just you just can't let it get out of control. You know, at the end of the day, it's like, hey, let's stay on track. Let's not veer off too crazy. But like I said, let's get it how it is, kind of written down. I don't mind if they change words here and there that kind of fit naturally to their. They're speaking, but as long as we're getting the point across and we're not going too off on these crazy improvised tangents, I'm all for it, you know? But like, yeah, just maintaining to be like, hey, before we do any real improvising, let's get what's on the page essentially, and then we can play a little bit more after that.
So, in editing your first film, how did you find that experience? Did you find it easy? Did you find it difficult? I mean, you've watched hundreds and hundreds of films in the movie theater, and you're
It's
probably like me, fussy about editing, so I'm just wondering.
You know what? I used to hate editing. I used to not be a fan of it, but it was kind of like you had to do it, you know? And then as the years of probably editing this movie, I is when I really kind of officially became, I'm like, okay, I'm a fan of editing, and I actually would like to edit as m pretty much any film that I do from here on, if they allow me to, I would love to edit it. Because I feel like I do have a knack for it, and I feel like I'm always improving on it. And I don't know, something about that's where you get to play God, you know, in the editing room. You know, you get to really like, I mean, there's variations of the movie, you know, like that, you know, because you do certain cuts and stuff like that. Scenes, obviously, you finally pick a version that you want. But I just like the, I don't know, it clicked this time when I edited this movie is when I officially was like, you know what, I actually do enjoy editing. But for the longest time, it was I thought it was a drag. You know, it's kind of tedious, so I get it. But now it's grown on me, so I'm a fan of editing actually. So, but
Okay,
yeah.
I'm going back to something you said earlier. You said as they were reading, you were rewriting the script constantly.
In a way, yeah, I was kind of always like kind of it wasn't like changing huge plot points, it was just kind of condensing scenes or maybe changing some lines, tweaking things. It was just constantly being tweaked. Like I said, this movie was kind of I kind of made this movie out of desperation. You know, this was 2020 when I started the end of 2020. You know, we were going through COVID. I was low key fiending, you know, like, hey, I need to make something. I was already planning to make a feature, but then COVID kind of slowed, kind of pushed back to everything. So I shot this in the summer of 2021. That's when I was able to like film it. Yeah, we shot it in 8 days. And then, but yeah, but like I kind of like was kind of like I need to make something that's cheap and I can do and I have access to and I because I have a team of people that would be down to help me. So I you know it didn't come from like an it kind of came from trying to make a low budget feature that's in a contained space. You know, that's where the story spawned out of more, you know, and my love for like you know serial killer movies like Zodiac and Memories of Murder and stuff like that kind of. A little bit in there, but you know, also just being a fan of like Clerks and that low budget mumblecore type of style or genre, subgenre.
So after finishing this film, did you learn anything?
Yeah, it was. I learned a lot. I feel like I can't wait to make the next one, the next feature. I feel like I'm ready to. Like I feel like I showed there's potential in this movie, and I'm proud of this movie. But man. They haven't seen anything yet, what I can do. I'm
I
so
love
stoked
it.
for the next
I
thing I
love it.
film. I really feel like I'm gonna be able to really flex my filmmaking muscle in the next one. But yeah, I just feel just kind of just finally going through it, running a full movie and doing it, you know, kind of knowing what to expect a little bit. It was a good film school at the end of the day. Nothing's better. I've always been better learning when it's hands-on than like through textbooks or anything like that. So kind of getting that crash course of just like doing it and being as professional as I can with my low budget, you know, it was very helpful. And yeah, I just can't wait to show people my next feature film. You know, I've done a short film after this and it's probably my best short film, probably the best thing, maybe the best thing visually that I've done. So I'm really excited to do it in a feature length way again. I can't wait.
That's cool. That's all my questions, but we got fun questions, so I know you're
Okay,
ready.
cool. Let's right on.
Okay, you cannot name Wet Hot American Summer on the first question. I just want you to
Okay.
know. Your favorite film.
My favorite film of all time. I'm gonna say this. Look, this can always be changing, but as of right now, as we're speaking, my favorite film of all time is Quentin Tarantino's Django Unchained.
Which, no problem with that. One person you'll work with in the future.
One person I would like to work with. It doesn't matter. It just these have to be. It could be anybody, not an actor. It could be just a okay. Man, I'm gonna stick with the acting. I would love to work with. Damn, this is hard. Cause should I go with old, new? If I'm gonna go with someone who like I grew up with, that if they're still around, I would love to work with the Tom Hanks.
Oh,
I grew
shoot
up
for the
watching.
stars. All
Yeah.
right, I
If it
love
was
it.
someone who was like that, I kind of like really looked up to growing up. He was someone that was always, you know, I was a big fan. Him and Denzel are kind of neck to neck. I would love to be able to just work with them. But if we're gonna go with someone more younger, like closer to my age, I would say like someone like Ryan Gosling, Joseph Gordon-Levitt. Yeah. Those type of actors would be great. Natalie Portman would be another dream of mine for sure.
Just because you worked in a movie theater, I have a weird question.
Go ahead.
What is your biggest pet peeve about patrons that come to the movie theater that drive you nuts?
What's a bit? Honestly, Oh, when they go in and then they come out complaining about the movie because it's like too like rated R or something like that. I'm like, you can look up like what's in this movie. It's too sexual or too much violence. I'm like, just look up. It's so easy to look up that stuff, or you could ask us before and we can kind of read what it says, why it's rated R. You know, in the poster has their like for sexual content for whatever. Yeah, we had a lot of people always complain like, oh, this movie is, it's offensive, or is this movie's too much, or like, I'm like, well, we're not giving you your money back. Like, it's not a refund thing, you know? So that type of stuff was very annoying to hear, because it's like, come on, you know better. You're an adult. You can look it up. It's not like hidden from you what's in this movie, you know? So that was always very annoying to me.
Tell everybody where they can find your film, please.
They could find my film, The Director's Cut, on Tubi right now. So yeah, Tubi's it's on other streaming sites, but Tubi's the one that's the biggest one that it's on. So yeah, definitely look it up on Tubi, The Director's Cut. There might be another one called Director's Cut without the, but The Director's Cut, black and white poster with the skull through it, with a knife through it. Yeah, once you see it, you'll know it's the right one.
Thank you for your time and have a great evening.
Thank you, man. Appreciate it.